evening. This is N5AOW and net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. My name is Bob. This net is held every evening at 9 p.m. on the Boonville Amateur Radio Club repeater, 146.655 MHz. The repeater is located 2.5 miles southwest of Boonville on Jackson Hill. This is an informal net, and all interested parties are welcome to check in with or without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times and can break in at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? The Boonville Amateur Radio Club's next monthly meeting will be held on May 20th at 7 p.m. at the Dodge Pratt Northam Center, 106 Schuyler Street. Everyone is welcome to attend. An amateur radio license is not required to become a member. If you're interested in becoming a net controller, please contact a club member and we can set that up. Should a net controller not start the net at 9 p.m. and still has not done so after a couple of minutes, please feel free to conduct the net yourself. You'll find the net preamble on the website at www.boonvilleart.com. Are there any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations wishing to check in? This is N5AOW, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. I'll now take calls from regular members and guests.
T2AIT, good evening.
T2WI.
KC2MBU.
To you. Okay. Looks like we have three. 82AIT and 5AOW.
Good evening, Bill and Pete and Ray, and I think I heard John there, CA2U in there somewhere. We're just thinking around here online. I'll do some work here tonight, trying to figure out maybe Ray or Pete might know. I have those, Pete's seen them before, those amorphous solar panels there. I just got some monocrystalline panels, and I'm going to hook them up instead. No, those will be maximum 200 watts, yeah. And the amorphous panels, each array is 45 watts. So what I was wondering is if I could hook up the two monocrystalline for 200 watts and then one of them arrays for 45 watts for a total of 245 watts max, peak performance. I wired them into the solar controller. It doesn't matter if I mix and match them together, does it? I mean, I got to wire them. I'm going to have to splice them together at some point where they connect to the controller. I don't think it matters, but if anybody knows, let me know. Otherwise, we worked today and took a hike out the Topaz as usual. And, it was another beautiful, warm day out. And couldn't ask for anything better. All right, back to you, Bill. This is KD2AIT.
Okay, Jeff, I couldn't certainly answer your question for you, but I would imagine Pete has a possibility on that, so we'll turn it over to him. KC2WI.
KC2WI, I'm looking at the radar, and in 1 hour, well, the 754, the pretty heavy rain, Rochester and East, Geneva was just about to get it, and if I go to the last one in the animation, it's moved only, I don't know, 30 miles. It's probably just almost to Rome. Well, no, sorry, it's almost to, I'm trying to guess where the line is. It's only maybe not in Fulton, I don't think. It hasn't even gone halfway to Syracuse from where it was. So it's very slow moving, But it's gotten bigger. The area of green and yellow and red is getting bigger. So I guess the forecast is right that we're really not going to get the heavy stuff. Now they're not saying, you know, they're saying tonight is only, I don't know, 50% or whatever it was, tomorrow and tomorrow night. But the, tomorrow they're saying 2 inches, 1 to 2 inches Friday, 1 to 2 inches Friday night. So I guess that's because it's so slow moving. But you think it's the way the wind is blowing and all that, you think it could be rain at any time. Detected a few drops on the windshield coming home from Lowellville after the business after hours at about 7:30, 8 o'clock, I don't know when it was. Like that, I thought, oh, here we go, but it was not anything. Anyway, the solar panels, well, you know, I'm not a solar panel expert, but, and sometimes the assumptions are very wrong because of something I don't know, but seems to me that you've got solar panels producing current, you know, whatever the open circuit voltage is, 15 volts or whatever it is, and basically they're pumping current out, and as long as the output voltages are about the same, then you're just combining the power from different panels, and I would think that they wouldn't have to be identical panels. You know, the only difference, the only thing is if they were totally different voltages, that probably wouldn't work, but seems to me that, you know, it's like taking two batteries, one's a 10 amp hour battery and one's a 5 amp hour battery, but they're both 12 volt batteries or whatever. You know, they should, the current should combine. Of course, in that case, the one would probably, you know, run out of juice before the other one, so that wouldn't be good, but...
very good on the report, Pete, and I hope maybe your comments on that will help Jeff and what he's doing there, so maybe that'll give him a little insight on it. I would think, you know, from what both of you were saying, and I don't know that much about it, that possibility it might be something of an isolation circuit between the two, but not knowing, I really wouldn't, say. Well, KC2, NBU, Ray, what have you got this evening?
We've got 70 degrees still, and, you know, Pete's right. As long as the voltage of the panels is close to being the same, you may find that one's 19 volts open circuit and the other one might be 22 volts or whatever, as long as they're both designed to work at 12 volts. The thing that Pete didn't mention is he has to wire them parallel, not series. It's got to be parallel, just like as if they were batteries. Over.
Roger, I would think that also. Just like charging a battery, you can use one charger to charge two, but you have to do it in parallel rather than series. Okay. Well, maybe that'll help you out, Jeff. I hope so.
Roger, I think that helps in trying to figure out what the voltage is on the old ones there. Have to figure that out. My one concern was about the MPVT controller. That's not going to mess up what it's doing there. I can't remember what that stands for now. The tracking, power tracking controller. Would it, Ray?
Oh, I didn't know you had tracking. You trying to tell me your solar panels are on a movable base?
No, and that's the MPPT. It's, I can't remember what it stands for now. It's, maximum power point tracking. You know, you got different kinds of, solar charge controllers. And the more expensive ones are the MPPT ones that basically try to match the panels to what to the batteries at all times.
I think you're confused. The better charge controllers are pulse width modulation chargers, and they reduce sulfation in your batteries, and they give you a higher output than you'd get through a regular charge controller.
It's different from what I'm reading here online. So cheaper charge controllers are generally the PWM controllers, and the MPPT ones, you can't even like touch them without going in, you know, at least $130, $140 up, and then much higher too.
Well, yeah, some of them will actually amplify the wattage somehow electronically. And yes, those are the most expensive ones. Most people stick with the pulse width modulation. And then they have cheaper ones than that are just DC. No electronics really to them. It basically switches the power off the batteries and puts it onto a second set of terminals that you can hook up to a load bank to make hot water, or just a dummy load so that it's not getting wasted.
Roger that. All right, I'll turn it back over to the net there. I'll continue to do some reading on it. I thank you for all your guys' input. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be much of a problem. That's the one thing I don't know, if it's trying to match up against the panels, if that's going to cause any issue with the charge controller. And I'm going to do a little more reading on it. All right, don't want to interrupt the net, so back to net control, KD2AIT.
All right, Jeff, Pete, and Ray, I'm glad at least you guys can get somewhat of a solution there, or at least get an answer to what Jeff wanted. John, I believe Jeff said you were in there. I missed the call, so if you will, when you come back, would you please give me the call?
Jeff, it's Whiskey Alpha 2 Uniform WA to you.
Okay, I got it now, John. How was your day today?
Okay, well, good evening to everyone on frequency and those out there listening. Well, I feel like I work for the forestry department here. I did more wood cutting today. I cut some pieces up, and Kathy and I have been trying to clear the property here. And some were too big, so I cut them smaller so she could handle them. And between the two of us, we got a lot of it and moved quite a bit of wood that was out front over to here where we want to have a little fire pit. So we're just doing a lot of stuff outside. I see a couple more trees that are down, up there that I should take down before they come down. And let's see, went and walked into camp today, got the extra chain and the stuff for the saw, the 3-in-1 that Husqvarna gives you, so I had that little tool. I should have brought it out months ago, but I went and got that. And brought out, speaking of charges, we have a optimum battery at our camp. It's a AGM battery, 1400 amps cranking power. It's one of the grayish blue ones, and they work fantastic. They have they don't give any outgassing when you charge them and things. And we have solar lights, a lot of them over camp. And yeah, everything's hooked up in parallel there. Jeff, think it's really, really basic. If you had 10 panels on your roof at your camp, and one happened to get, I don't know, a branch in front of it, or, for some reason, at some time, not all of them were producing the same amount of current and voltage. So you're going to have to deal with the same thing anyway, but I know some people have been into, you know, large capacity solar panels, and their biggest thing is getting enough current to the battery bank and making sure everything's intact there. But we've had very very good luck with our stuff, even up at the camp in the wintertime. It's kind of strange. You go up there, you walk in, and the lights that are outside, like the spotlights, are on. But, hey, that's okay. There's evidently enough sun to take care of it. But, yeah, it should be in shape. And I would think of it as it's the pool. You can put a garden hose into the pool. You can put a fire hose into the pool. But it all adds to the capacitance or the collection. That's what I want to use. But, yeah, most of these systems are pretty safe now. But it's amazing what you can get out of a system, even if you don't have full sunlight. Absolutely fantastic in these little panels. So good luck with that. It'll be interesting to see what you're able to do. But yeah, the AGM battery, I've had lots of deep cycle and marine batteries, and that's where we've gone. And they have a special charger and stuff, but I know we didn't charge it. We were away from camp, and we went back a year later, and the battery was still at 75-80%, so I was impressed with all the cold temperatures and everything. WATU, back to that.
All right, John. That seemed to be very informative also, and I think maybe that, I know I've learned something with it. At least it enlightened me on a couple of issues with that. Okay, well, this is it. N5AOW, Net Control, looking for more check-ins.
KA2ZNZ.
Okay, KA2ZNZ, Jack, how are you this evening?
Well, we're doing pretty good tonight. Still about 74 degrees outside. Been a very windy day down here. Got up in the low 80s. And my clouds, I know I've been checking the radar. I haven't checked it in the last couple hours, but it looks like the western part of the state was getting quite a bit of rain already. But at the moment, nothing here. And I can't add anything to your cat QSO because I don't know anything about solar panels. I was a great little invention. So with that, 73's all around, KA2ZNZ.
Jack, very good. Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way on that. I'm more in tune with listening to what John Ray, Pete, and Jeff had to say on that than comment on anything myself. And good report. I know with you, you were talking about the temperature and all. We had a good day, but the wind was strong everywhere. We had some heavy branches come down here. And I've got a little bit of work to do tomorrow, cutting them up, and also took the dog run down part way, so I've got to fix that up again. So with that, I'll make another call for check-ins. This is N5AOW, Net Control. Are there any other check-ins? Okay, are there any comments, queries, or late check-ins at this time?
KC2NBU comment.
KC2NBU.
Just a couple more things. Number one, Jeff, you got to make sure that your total solar array wattage, cumulative total, is less than what the charge controller is rated to handle. P equals IV, and figure out the amps. AGM batteries. He says you say you have a special charger. Good. AGM batteries do not like to be charged over 14 volts. So you want to make sure your charger is set to 13.9 cutoff or less. Over.
KD2AIT, comment. Roger, Jeff, KD2AIT. Pick it up.
Roger that, Ray. I checked the maximum wattage was 260 watts. So at peak performance, I would get 245 watts out of, you know, what I proposed. And the charge controller, say the 20 amp controller, so I think I'd be 5 amps, just about 5 amps under that. So I don't think I don't think it would be a problem.
No, they're actually... A 20 amp charge controller actually handle about 22, 23 amps for short periods of time. But you're just, as long as you're conscious of that, as you're adding on to your system, that you grow your charge controller as your array grows, so that you don't have issues.
Roger that. You can also hook charge controllers up in parallel to your system, so you can have more than one if you want. Alright, back to that, KD2AIT.
Okay, Jeff, KD2AIT, N5AOW. Okay, are there any other comments, queries, or late check-ins at this time? Hearing none, I'll now close the Black River Valley service net and return the frequency to regular amateur use. I want to thank everyone who checked in, Jeff, Pete, Ray, John, and Jack, and 73s and O's that listened in. This is N5AOW, clear.
KD2AIT, KD2AIT, WA2, Jeff, you still there? Quick question for you.
Sure, I'm still here, John. What's going on? KD2AIT.
I'm just curious, you're talking about splicing cables. What methodology, how do you splice the cables together?
Nothing too extravagant. I was just going to twist them in on the ends, and then on the charge controller, it just takes the raw wire on the end and screw it, into a terminal. You can screw it down. So I was just going to twist the negatives together and the positives, the negatives together and slide them into one terminal, and the positives together and slide them into the positive terminal.
When you get a chance, I don't know, I know there's pluses and minuses, no pun intended, to everything, but I have a piece on it, but I started about a year getting involved with the Anderson Power Poles. They make them up to 45 amps, I guess, I don't know what, but I put them on everything. You name it, I got the crimping tool and the pins, and I have a blast. I don't have on a lamp from the living room yet, but I put them. It's just a nice thing, if you have them in a go kit, or you have them in your car, you don't have to see what you're doing. You just plug these babies together. There's no way that you can go, if you set them up the right way with red and black or whatever color you want, you can't goof up anything. I did that because of the amperage, the current dealing with the battery up at camp and stuff. And if Kathy wants to plug something in, I'll have to go. You got 1,400 amps at 12, 13 volts, so kapowie. But anyways, we have the battery boost and that kind of thing. But the Anderson Power Poles, once you get stuff set up, it's so nice to take a power, like a battery, and power goes off, you just plug the battery. Everything's interchangeable once you get it set up. It's really nifty and neat, and you can't plug things in the wrong way.
Roger, yeah. Matter of fact, I think I do have some of them laying around up there at that camp. I don't have the crimping tool. Most of the solar wiring comes with the MC4 cables, so you can connect them right together. It's kind of become standard in a lot of the panels you get now. So, they have different branch connectors and whatever, so you can, do whatever you need to do or get them to go in a series of parallels. They have, a bunch of different connectors you can use. Generally, I don't have to splice anything together, like in the mid-wire, with it. Like right now, my panel, there's like a hub. It almost looks like kind of like a USB hub, if you remember those back in the day, but round. And so the MC4 cables come in, and they plug into this hub, and then there's an output on the hub that goes right to the charge controller. And that's just, bare wires on the end. But I got a pretty decent setup up there, though. I want to expand the battery bank. So I have two 115 amp hour batteries, XI batteries. They're not ATM, but they've worked pretty well. Although in the winter, the charge is
less than optimum, so that's why I've been, that's why I upgraded the charge controller to an MPVT controller that's supposed to come from that, that gives you, you know, better charge there in the wintertime. And I got a couple different inverters up there so we can run either AC power, and then I also have a lot of the lighting in the camp is just so running directly to the battery there. I have some LED lights that used to be, that were, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? They were reclaimed from signs, you know, street signs that were for businesses and stuff. Everyone, I have an uncle of mine who replaces LED strings in those lights. And, you know, he keeps them when he gets them out, so he sends them to me every once in a while. And they work great for lighting up your camp at night. So I got a bunch of them strung around all over the place. And so I use that system pretty extensively. And so I'm just trying to see if I can't beef it up a little more so when we spend more time up there, we don't have to worry so much about, you know, three or four rainy days in a row or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, the battery boost is kind of nifty. I've got it set, I think, at 11 volts cut off. You can go in and you can change that and stuff. It's, I don't know if it's, if it qualifies as a condition. Supposedly they try to keep it at 13.8, how it does it, but it's interesting. I went with this battery just because I went in camp one day and I, it sloshed around and was getting out of the back of the van and it burned a hole, burned all the way through my sneakers, so it's like, okay, all right, enough of this, you know, and lucky it didn't do too much to, it didn't do too much to the van. We were able to neutralize things, but yeah, these things are, the battery's pretty heavy. There's no way to easily pick it up. Looks like a six-pack, you know, they're offset, but they make red ones and blue ones and yellow ones for different purposes, but it'll do dual function. But I was really impressed after winter and being cold up there. I put the battery, they give you a fancy...
Yeah, the internet's been, I wouldn't have been able to do what I did without the internet. Yeah, we, my charge, or my inverter, they all have a cutoff. I think it's 11.1 volts. Somewhere around there, 11.1, 11.4, I can't remember what it is now, it's not adjustable online, but when they get to that point, they shut off, and they'll, you know, they'll beep a little bit, you know, let you know they're getting ready to shut off, and then they'll stop putting out power just so you don't wear the batteries down too much, and, you know, the controller itself will charge up to, well, it depends on what it's doing, but usually up to around 14 volts or something, and then it'll float charge the battery from that point out, which keeps them topped off every microseconds or whatever. And I've had issues in the past, not with my setup up there at camp, but in the past with batteries. I always keep right there at camp, right next to the battery bank, baking soda, because you never know what's going to happen with that. Baking soda is the quickest way to neutralize that. So something you might want to, well, you don't have to worry about with your ATM, but
with us, with any of them that feel up like that, definitely just a good suggestion. I know about read some articles, people had generators and they had it made with a house, except a lot of controllers on furnaces are very, very fussy. But any of the people that had generators that had the inverters, which we have one of those at camp, it costs a little bit more, but the controller is so fussy, it doesn't see that 60 cycle, and the right wave hitting that controller, they couldn't get the, they had all the wattage, just not the right stability to get the controller to work, so the furnace would come out. a little quirk, so yeah, that's a good way to go with the inverter, at least you got stability. All right, WA273.
This is KB2KOJ for the United County Traffic and Emergency Net Octon. Currently on the 14517 station for Octon. Come now, please.
This is N2WVX. Good evening. No traffic.
This is KD2AIT. Good evening. No traffic.
says.
AC2WI, good evening, no traffic.
And KC2NBU, good evening, no traffic.
Okay, very good. I have M2WBX, Dennis, KD2AIT, Jeff, KC2WI, Pete, and KC2NBU, Ray. Thank you all for checking in. Anyone else, Rockhead?
This is
2KOJS, Rockhead.
This is WATU. Good evening, Mark.
Thank you for checking in. Anyone else, Rockhead? So close, Rockhead. Okay, nothing else here. I want to thank everyone for checking in. Do appreciate it, and hope to hear everyone tomorrow night. KB2KOJS, clear.
Yeah, I missed you on that one, Jack. Jack, sorry. Mark, N5AOW. Anyway, have a good evening, 73s.
Oh, we didn't miss you, Bob. We got you. N5AOW. Thank you for checking in. Do appreciate it. 73 to all. KB2KO, Jack. Come back to 145 1000.